Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
402, welcome in. A Thursday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Can you people win something on Race to Win? Good God. We're going to play 41 times on the show today. We can't give these prizes away. We'll play at least 3 times today. How about that? Your opportunity to play and be victorious with us on Race to Win. The Minnesota Twins tickets are still hanging out there. Peter Frampton coming to the McGrath Amphitheater. We want to make you winners. As a matter of fact, we got so much winning. We're going to be so tired. We're winning so much, you're going to be so tired of the winning here at KGYM today. Does that sound familiar? We've got tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels at a future game this season. We've also got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. If I didn't know any better, I'd think we were trying to bribe you to keep you around and listening to us. But I do know better. You're here because you enjoy the content that we bring you on a daily basis. We've got a great show for you today. Christopher Heady of the Omaha World Herald is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Fred Hoiberg has completely overhauled the roster in Lincoln, and the Huskers are serving notice to the rest of the Big Ten, certainly with the hire of Fred Hoiberg, but he has quickly gone about remaking that roster. We'll get into the early stages of the Fred Hoiberg era with Chris when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. Woodja on tap in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. And Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com will be along with us as well. Those of you who have listened to the program plenty in the past know that Greg is an outstanding NHL writer at ESPN.com, formerly of Yahoo. What could we possibly be talking about when it comes to the National Hockey League? I don't think we're having Greg on to ask him whether or not Boston is going to sweep Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. We are going to take your phone calls and texts, 319-366-1600, on what can only be described as a freaking embarrassment last night in St. Louis. My plan for today's show is to just wind Alex up and let him go like a little. My son is the very first ever Happy Meal toy that he got. We still have it. It's a little Pokemon thing. I don't even know the character's name, but you twist the little dial.
Does it jump up and down?
And it skitters across. Yeah, and he's loved it ever since we first brought it home. And that's what I was going to do. I was going to wind Alex up and let you go. Good God, that was an abomination. And the officiating this postseason has been bad. But that could be, that call last night very well could be what decides who's going to represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals. I know it's only game 3 of the series, but San Jose has a 2-game-to-1 lead now, based in large part on a call that was so blatantly obvious, I think most people that don't even know anything about hockey would have looked at that and said, can you use your hand? Are you allowed to do that? Isn't it sort of like soccer where you're not supposed to use your hands? A blatant hand pass from Timo Meier in front of the net. Erik Karlsson knocks home the game winner. And all hell breaks loose in St. Louis. Look, I know St. Louis gets a knock for being a boring city. I bet it wasn't boring last night in that building.
No, I almost wish it was boring because that would have been a step up from what it was inside the Enterprise Center last night.
I'll talk to you guys in 15 minutes. He's just going to go now. Here he goes.
You mentioned non-hockey fans. I asked our friend across the hall at Z102.9 who's on the station right now, is on the air right now, Jenny Valier. I go, watch this play. Tell me what's wrong with it. She doesn't know hockey. She goes, are you allowed to use your hand? Are you allowed to smack the puck?
Doesn't she do stuff for the Rough Riders?
Well, I probably shouldn't tell. She knows a little bit about hockey, but she's not a hockey fan.
Alex trying to take the mantle of resident misogynist here.
No. I'll move past that. I'm watching that game last night. And the play happens, And I'm still a little bit upset that the Blues were not able to close that game out in regulation. They're up 4-3. They have a chance at an empty net, and Jaden Schwartz clanks it off the left post with about a minute and 20 to go. Then the captain, Alex Pietrangelo, has two terrible icings in his own zone, keeps his line on, or the same alignment on the ice, and then Logan Couture scores the tying goal with about 50 seconds to go, and they're going to overtime, and I have this sinking feeling in my stomach. And throughout these entire playoffs with the Blues, they've come up big, but for some reason, I just felt something was amiss. I felt something was not going to go right. And then that play happens. And I watch Timo Meier fall to his knees and smack the puck like Dave Chappelle playing Rick James hitting Charlie Murphy with his five fingers to the face.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
What is it, slap or smack? It's one of the two. I don't want to misquote Dave Chappelle. You can't do that. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm not upset. I saw the goal go in from Erik Karlsson. I thought, okay, well, this is okay. It's not going to count. There's no way that this is going to count. And I see the referee pointing at the goal like this is going to count. I thought, surely this is reviewable, right? I mean, let's go back to the last series when the San Jose Sharks.
It isn't, and don't call me Shirley.
When the San Jose Sharks were the beneficiary of Colorado forward Gabriel Landeskog going to the bench, standing on the ice, not yet hopping over the bench. He was inside the blue line. A goal was scored about a minute later, but because the puck crossed the blue line before Landeskog was able to climb over the boards into the bench, the goal was disallowed, and the Sharks won the game by a goal. Or going back two series to when the Sharks were given a five-minute major, or excuse me, the Vegas Golden Knights were given a five-minute major call against the Sharks, up 3-0 in Game 7 on a play that probably wasn't even a minor penalty. The Sharks score four goals and win.
He's just getting started.
And then last night, I see the referees skate to center ice where they usually go and confer with the officials. The first thing that went through my head is how can four trained officials, how can four morons on the ice not see that? What are you watching? Okay, the play, this isn't happening away from the play. This isn't in the neutral zone. The puck is probably one of the first things that you're supposed to watch if you are an official. You should probably have an eye on where the play is currently happening. And clearly they didn't on Timu Meier, who was 3 feet from the net and literally smacking the puck out of midair. It wasn't on the ice. It wasn't him flicking it to his...
It was a beautiful pass to Karlsson.
It was a great pass.
That.
I mean, it was right on the money. But it was batted out of midair.
Had he made that pass with his stick, we would be talking about what a beautiful assist it was.
But once again, I'm thinking there's no way that this goal is going to stand. And then they start skating off the ice. I'm like, what is going on now? I look at my phone and I see the little Yahoo Sports alerts telling me that the game has gone final. And then the reality sort starts to set in. And they say the officials and the league say that this is not a reviewable play. And this goes back to what I always say about this league. I try so hard to get people in this area, people who aren't fans of hockey, just to watch a game. Because separating myself from being a Blues fan, hockey is awesome. The combination of the skill that these guys have, their size, the barbaric nature of the sport, the intensity of the playoffs, you can't beat it. But then stuff like this happens, and no matter how good the product is on the ice, the NHL will never be a legitimate league because they're run by people who are jokes. Their officiating is a joke. And time and time and time again, when you're watching these big games, stuff like this happens. It's happened
three times for one team in a single playoffs. Imagine if the Los Angeles Rams, in three different games, got pass interference, no calls, like they did in the NFC Championship game. In the NFL. That happened once. And people were up in arms about it. People are changing. The NFL is looking at changing their rules. In fact, they have changed their rules. This has happened three times for one team. And the fact that that's not reviewable. How is that not a reviewable play? The league literally realizes that their officials are inept and does nothing to help them. Wouldn't you think, okay, all right, they missed it on the ice. They missed the call on the ice. I don't know how they missed the call, but they missed it. This should be a play that should be reviewable. It happened. It literally led to the winning goal in a pivotal game in a Western Conference Finals contest. But it wasn't. And the last thing I will say, there is just no excuse.
I don't think it's the last thing he's going to say, just for the record.
There is no excuse in 2019 for a game to end that way. There's no excuse. And I know people will point to some missed calls during the course of the game, and you're leaving it up to the officials. This wasn't leaving it up to the officials. This was a systemic failure from the top person in the NHL to the bottom person in the NHL. And it goes beyond just one missed call. It ended a game prematurely.
Should all goals be reviewable in the NHL? Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. You can find them tucked away behind Taco John's. Seems pretty easy to me to say that all goals should be reviewable, as the phone line begins to light up at 366-1600. If it's not sunny in Iowa City, it's going to be a major upset here. We are talking about hockey. Aha! I'm like a mind reader here. We'll get to sunny in just a little bit. I don't know what the NHL can do to rectify this, although I was reading a roundtable discussion at The Athletic earlier today in which a lot of their hockey beat writers tried to rectify this situation, and I came across the existence of a human being named Fluto Shinzawa, which, I mean, you want to talk about grade A names. You name your kid Fluto, you got a lot going for him before he's even out of the womb. Add a fifth official off the ice that is able to communicate with the four. The point being is the game is such a fast-paced game. Now, that doesn't excuse last night, because you can say hockey's a really fast-paced game. That seemed to be pretty obvious.
I saw it right away.
And
right away.
You got four guys on the ice there who presumably are all paying attention to the action and where the puck is for the most part. And all four of them decided, no, let's get out of here. Let's go get some toasted ravioli and hit the hill. Did I bat 100 on my St. Louis reference?
You knocked it out of the park.
Or yeah, I tend to.
You swatted it.
It's called pulling a Christian Yelich.
A teammate who knocked it in the goal.
Renaming, knocking it out of the park. Let's go to the phone lines, though, and the only guy who probably cares more about hockey in Eastern Iowa than Alex Kuhn right now. Sonny in Iowa City wants to weigh in. Kyle didn't even bother to put it in the subject line. We know Sonny wants to talk hockey and last night's game. Sonny, your thoughts?
I don't think that I care as much as Alex Kuhn does on this. My team is Calgary, and they are not competitive. I think you're absolutely right that, like, in 2019 there is no excuse for this. It's one of those things where you look at the result, and the result is so nonsense that you have to rewind five or six steps to figure out, you know, how did we even get here? And for them to say, like, well, that's not reviewable, there's no catch-all for something like this. Like, there's no way that we can make this right. It's the same thing with the Saints. Like, it was such an obvious thing. And, yes, I hear the arguments that, well, they could have won the game a variety of other ways, and yes, the Saints could have made, you know, a stop here or there, but the reality is that one completely blown call cost somebody the game. And I mean, it was no more obvious than just seeing it on the replay at what a hand pass that was. So I don't agree with anybody anymore that makes excuses for why these things shouldn't exist. You should always have some sort of caveat that if it's wrong, you're able to change it. If it's wrong, you're able to review it. If it is something that would, in fact, lead to a touchdown or lead to a goal, everything should be reviewable, because we just can't get into these catastrophic situations anymore. And that's exactly what this is. That is a catastrophic loss for St. Louis that is completely unexcusable. So whatever they have to do to make it like a back pocket rule, where if it's an egregious error, then they are able to modify the call, then I'm all for it. And by the way, I saw your guys' post on arguing with people that the draft is the lottery is fixed because the Pelicans and the Grizzlies got the number one and number two picks. That is just absolutely asinine. So there you have it.
Sonny, didn't you call that when you joined us? You said that people are going to call it rigged regardless.
It's going to be rigged either way, right? Like, it's going to be rigged if they go to a big market, and somehow, inexplicably, it's going to be rigged if they go to a small market. And if you think the NBA is stoked to put Zion Williamson in New Orleans and the next best guy in Memphis, then you don't understand how television works.
Sonny, always great hearing from you. One of these days we'll do favorite sports conspiracy theories, but the fact that the NBA draft lottery is rigged is pretty near the top of the list there.
Although it's rigged there either
some,
way.
There, you name the sport, you name the situation, somebody will come up with a conspiracy
right.
theory.
If the Bulls or the Lakers would have gotten the number one pick, someone would have come up with the reason why it's rigged.
Now, Zion Williamson's, is it his stepfather? Somebody was on the radio in Louisiana earlier today on an ESPN affiliate, and I know this because the ESPN national programs had the sound everywhere, so it had to have been within the ESPN family. But Zion's family members said that he is not going back to Duke, or basically said the idea of him going back to Duke for his sophomore season was off the table, that he understands there are things that you can control and things that you can't, and you don't worry about the things that you can't control. And the lottery dictated that the Pelicans have the first overall pick, and he's going to roll with the flow. And I look, you got a guaranteed $100 million payday or whatever it is, and you mean to tell me just because you don't like the situation in New Orleans that you're going to go back to school?
There's I don't think so.
No way, no how. Nice city, by the way. Beignets, a little chicory coffee, Mississippi River, although you can see that in the Quad Cities and Clinton, but they don't have an NBA franchise.
St. Louis, too.
And St. Louis, too. I didn't mean to, sometimes you leave the boring cities off the list. Mm. 319-366-69. I don't really want to poke the bear today, because when you poke the bear, sometimes the bear will maul you. And Alex is the bear today. Alex is very agitated. He takes sports very seriously. If you've ever met Alex when we're out and about, say, next Thursday, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com will be back at Mulligan's. You meet Alex. He is one of the most down-to-earth, unassuming, quiet guys. He's very Clark Kent when you meet Alex. And then something happens with the Cardinals or the Blues.
Mostly the Blues.
Or another sports team.
Either
that
the
he is,
Blues or the Memphis Tigers when my younger brother played there. That's when
there
things
was
go
the,
haywire.
There was the infamous hand incident.
Yeah, there was.
At the bar in Iowa City.
I slipped and I fell.
Yeah, which he didn't. He did not slip and he did not fall. He injured his hand watching his brother's game on TV, and then he meekly told all of us that he slipped and fell, and that's how he injured his hand. I don't want to poke the bear today because I am in a very small environment here. This is like a zoo. We are sort of in a little bit of an enclosure here. It's very zoo-like. You've got the window. Kyle can look in at us and see whether we're napping over in the corner or eating a frozen block of ice that has a watermelon in it. And I don't want to poke Alex anymore because I will get mauled. But I think he's made his thoughts very clear on the outcome of the game last night, and I cannot agree with him more. Look, this is, to me, it's the postseason. They don't do shootouts in the postseason because every game gets decided because it's fair and square. If you've got to play seven overtimes, you play seven overtimes. Okay, so they get it when it comes to that, but they don't get it in, how simple would it be if we just reviewed every score?
And this is
pretty simple, right?
The thing that gets
me... We should
me,
do that. Let's not do that.
You watch hockey, Todd. What is reviewed? Plays that are much less defined and much less black and white than a hand pass.
The offsides.
Offside. Goaltender interference. Does anybody know what goaltender interference actually is? Because I don't. But that gets reviewed. A guy jumping off of the bench in the offensive zone away from the play gets reviewed 3 minutes before the goal, but the hand pass, which seems so simple. You either did it or you didn't. He either passed the puck with his hand or he didn't. But by all means, whether a guy kicked the puck in the net or intentionally kicked it or guided into the net, that's reviewable. And if he would have hit the puck into the net with his hand, that's reviewable. But since he was passing it to his teammate, it wasn't reviewable. That makes no sense.
Look, it's either this or we're talking Nebraska basketball. So let's keep going with the hockey. Well, actually, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to join us here on the other side of the enclosure. He'll give you a big board update, and then Christopher Heady will stop by from the Omaha World-Herald, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, to give us an update on what's going on in Fred Hoiberg's world. The short answer to that is a number of transfers. What, 10, 11? I can't even... He's repopulated the Nebraska roster. 11 new players. And oh, by the way, speaking of transfers, yes, Isaiah Moss has a new home. Kyle will tell you all about that and more when we return. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, and online at KGYMradio.com. Back with more after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
Slow and steady wins the race, unless, of course, you've got the Cubs bullpen on your side in Cincinnati. Yu Darvish approached last night's game at a leisurely pace, and the results spoke for themselves. Over 5 1/3 innings, Darvish struck out 11 Reds batters without issuing a single walk. His first pitch strike percentage was his highest of the season, and his 26 called strikes were his most since 2014. Perhaps Darvish has unlocked the key to finally finding success in Chicago. Unfortunately, the Cubs' bullpen couldn't keep the Reds at bay as Cincinnati rallied for a 6-5 win in extra innings. Today, the Cubs optioned Taylor Davis, who had been serving as Darvish's personal catcher, back to AAA Iowa in order to make room for the return of Victor Caratini. Kyle Schwarber bats leadoff in the series finale tonight before the Cubs return home to face the Washington Nationals tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The Golden State Warriors take Game 1 at home. Will Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers bounce back in Game 2?
Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock here on The Gym, 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
427, welcome back in. Your opportunity to play and hopefully be victorious on Race to Win. Seriously, guys and gals, match the damn numbers and start winning some prizes, because we've got today and tomorrow and that's it. And if we have to do this nine times today so that we only have two or three left tomorrow, then so be it. But Race to Win, your first chance of, let's just say, several. Let's be honest here. The way that this contest has gone so far this week, your first of several chances to win coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Keep it here, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Big revenue for the Big Ten. We'll tackle that topic in the 5 o'clock hour along with Greg Wyshynski. But first, Kyle's with us on the other side of the glass enclosure. It's time for a big board update. They come your way on this show, courtesy of Alexander Lumber. Check them out at their temporary Iowa City location, 2802 Independence Drive. It is almost summer construction project season. Big or small, Alexander Lumber can help you fulfill your project's needs. Here's Kyle.
Former Hawkeye Isaiah Moss announced his transfer destination to be the University of Arkansas shortly after we got off the air last night. His father said he's trying to get to the next level in his basketball career, and he's going to be working on that with head coach Eric Musselman, recently hired from Nevada. Another former Hawkeye and two former Cyclones are trying to do the same thing at the NBA Combine, which kicked off in full swing today. Tyler Cook helped himself the most in the measurement department, checking at just over 6'7 without shoes and 245 pounds. He's also got a wingspan just over 7 feet and apparently massive hands, if that's important to you. Mariel Shayok came in a little bit smaller than he probably needed to, only 6'4.5 and less than 200 pounds, but he also has a 7-foot wingspan. Talon Horton-Tucker irrefutably had the strangest day at 235 pounds. He's only 6'2.5, but also has a 7'1.25 wingspan. Now, that's a bit short, but the 10¾ difference between his height and wingspan is the second largest ever recorded at the Combine. You take those wonky measurements paired with the report this morning that he didn't scan $16 worth of groceries at a Walmart back in February, and yeah, he had a weird day. The Colonels are in Clinton tonight, beginning a four-game weekend series with the Lumber Kings, and after the show tonight here on KGYM, we'll have the Warriors and Blazers on the South and Main gyms, and then around 8:30, we'll pick up the Twins and Mariners getting started out west.
Literally 1 minute ago, some recruiting news for the Iowa football team.
Yeah,
coming
across
the
three-star running back.
Three-star running back by the name of LaShawn Williams.
Out of Illinois.
The state of Illinois.
Yep. Not a very impressive early offer list on him. I know Ball State and Central
Michigan.
A lot of
MAC schools.
Cincinnati, Eastern Illinois, but getting the commitment done early and out of the way there. So the Hawkeyes making some headway on the recruiting trail. And speaking of recruiting, the fallout has begun. We will talk Big Ten basketball, specifically Nebraska here shortly with Christopher Hetty of the Omaha World Herald. But Jalen Wilson, a four-star prospect who had been committed to play for John Beilein at the University of Michigan, is now bailing on his commitment, and it sounds as if Kansas could wind up being the beneficiary there. So finally, these small-time programs like Kansas have something breaking their way. They may just luck themselves into a four-star commitment in the middle of May. We've got a lot more ground to cover here on the program tonight, including your chance to play Race to Win coming up here shortly. Patrick Peterson of the Arizona Cardinals suspended 8 games for performance-enhancing drugs. Perhaps a topic
Patrick
that will...
Peterson.
The material just writes itself
it's
there.
It's too easy.
He is a diabetic, and his reasoning here, his excuse is that he was feeling a little sluggish, and he took something as a pick-me-up, and that pick-me-up had a banned substance in it. That's his story. He's sticking to it. doesn't matter in the eyes of the NFL. He's going to be out until, I believe, October 21st.
And then he'll be right back.
And then they drop him right back into a pretty good defense. But as a number of people have pointed out, you thought Kyler Murray was going to have to shoulder the load offensively with Peterson on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to have to do some scoring probably without him. 319-366-1600 is the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line, the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. So as promised, Christopher Hedy of the Omaha World-Herald is with us. Many Big Ten locales have kept an eye on what's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska, following the Fred Hoiberg hire. And it's safe to say, Christopher, that Fred Hoiberg has not wasted any time in trying to remake the Cornhuskers roster.
He has not. He has basically redone the entire roster. Nebraska has 11 new guys on the team from they signed 11 guys in a month. And they've currently they're over scholarship right now. They currently have 14 guys on scholarship and there's only 13 spots on the team. Most of the reason why is because Isaiah Roby is still on scholarship and he's currently in the NBA combine and entering the NBA draft. And so he's got, about another week or so to decide on if he wants to return, and if he doesn't, then they'll be full at 13. But yeah, I mean, Fred Hoiberg has completely changed the roster. You know, he had some conversations with some Nebraska players and was pretty honest about, they didn't really fit in his system and they were going to go elsewhere. And so he's brought in his own guys. The roster they have right now, it looks like it's going to fit a lot better than maybe Tim Miles' guys would fit in his system. And so it's kind of the opposite. A couple of years ago, Mike Riley was hired from the football team and basically tried to make do with, Tommy Armstrong was the quarterback then. Basically it didn't fit. Tommy Armstrong was a running quarterback and they didn't have him run and it just didn't make any sense. So Fred Hoiberg is doing the exact opposite if he was in Mike Riley's shoes, he would have told Tommy Armstrong to hit the road and would have brought in his own quarterback. So, he's kind of totally revamped this roster and it looks like it's, going to fit his system.
With some of the leftover players that were there under Tim Miles who are on scholarship, like you're mentioning now, and Fred Hoiberg coming in and saying there's probably not a spot for you, has there been a little bit of consternation among the fan base? Because I noticed Bill Moos had to address that on a radio show recently.
Yeah, there's been some. I mean, the thing that really got under some fan skin, I think, was the first person that he let go was an in-state kid. And if you know anything about Nebraska sports, Nebraska sports fans in particular, they love their homegrown talent. So, Brady Hyman was a 6'11 kid who was going to redshirt last year but couldn't because Nebraska had some injuries and just didn't quite develop his body the way that you need to be ready in the Big Ten. Brady wasn't really ready, and he's more of a back to the basket center, and that's not really gonna jive with Fred Hoiberg's offense. And so, from talking with people in the program, the approach that the coaches basically took to the players was, hey, listen, like we don't want you to just sit on the bench, be unhappy, and not play and waste a year of eligibility just because you don't fit our offense. We want you to play somewhere, and it's unfortunately not going to end up being here. And so there are some people that are upset about that. They don't really like that Fred Hoiberg and his coaching staff have gone about doing that. At the same time, though, like Nebraska is the only Power 5 school in the country that doesn't have an NCAA tournament win. And so beggars can't really be choosers. If you hire Fred Hoiberg, this is what you get. You get a coach that knows what he wants, and he's not going to waste any time. And his coaching staff's going to be blunt. And so, do you want to be nice or do you want to be good? And the thing is I think that with some of these guys, I think they let three or four of them go from the previous roster. I think they're upset about it, obviously, but I think in 4 or 5 months when they're on a roster that they actually fit and they're possibly playing rather than sitting, I think that they're going to be a little less upset about, kind of going somewhere else because sometimes this needs to happen.
Of the transfers that are eligible to play next season, which one do you think has the biggest impact immediately?
Well, I think I would probably say Deshaun Burke. That's kind of a cop-out, though, because he was a transfer for Tim Miles and sat out last year, but he's going to be playing. I think he'll probably lead Nebraska in scoring. He's a Robert Morris transfer, really good, shifty guard, 6'4 kid, that'll play kind of the two and the three. Other than him, Cam Mack is another guy. He's going to be the point guard, and he's a transfer from Salt Lake Community College. And if there's any Iowa State fans out there, anybody remembers Monte Morris? You know, kind of a carbon copy. You know, Monte Morris led the country in assist to turnover ratio 4 straight years, and Cam Mack is a kid that had 4 triple doubles last year in JUCO, and had 4 or 5 double doubles with points and assists. And his JUCO coach told me that he's better when he's not touring and he's just trying to get people involved. And they kind of had a mini game within game sometimes of like, hey Cam, let's see if you can go get 15 assists in one game. And he did it a couple times. And so I think he's going to be a huge factor in terms of getting Nebraska to go up and down the floor, getting everybody involved, getting all the shooters their spots, and just kind of running the show. So I think that he's going to be really good. I mean, he's got 3 years of eligibility left. He's a sophomore. So, a lot of these kids that are going to play right away, they're pretty young. I mean, Nebraska doesn't have a ton of graduate transfers. The talent's definitely there. Whether or not it's going to fit right away, that's going to kind of be the next question. But I think in the next couple years, you'll kind of see, what happened to Iowa State happened at Nebraska.
You kind of led me right to my next question. So many people are going to ask leading up to the season, what are reasonable expectations for this team? But is it safe to say with the way that he's constructed this roster and the way that he recruits, this could be a much quicker turnaround than a lot of other programs bringing in a fresh coach?
Possibly. I mean, I think the general expectation that I've thought of and that I've kind of told people to kind of go in this way is, Fred Hoiberg was 16-16 in his first year at Iowa State. And I think that that's a pretty good, I think that's a good measuring stick for the first year here. I think that the Big Ten, you kind of have to learn how to win in it. Fred has been away from the college game for a little bit. And I think the college game has changed in the last 5 years. It's interesting with Scott Frost. I think Scott Frost and his staff came into Nebraska and thought that they could do almost the exact same thing that they did at UCF. And they learned pretty quickly that you can't, you have to adjust to the Big Ten. And I think that Fred Hoiberg has accepted that a little bit more than Scott did. Fred has gotten some bigger bodied forwards and centers that you didn't really see at Iowa State, that he's trying to kind of incorporate. And so I think that first year, obviously a lot of people are really excited right now because a lot of people have committed and, you know how off season hype can go. So people are really, have high expectations right now. But I think once the ball tips off in, early November, I think that we're going to be talking about, all right, can they go 500? Can they win a couple games that maybe they shouldn't? Can they maybe knock off a ranked team? Can they kind of make sure that they don't lose to a Rhode Island or, a Gardner Webb, kind of one of those lower tier teams? And so I think expectations in general, about 500, I think that's probably a safe way to look at it.
Christopher Hetty with us of the Omaha World Herald, covering the dawn of the Fred Hoiberg. He's only been on the job for 6 weeks, but it seems like a lot longer than that. How have Nebraska fans embraced Fred Hoiberg? This is a guy that starred at one of their rivals back in the old Big Eight days in Iowa State, the mayor of Ames, and now he's wearing a different color of red, and it seems to be going over pretty well with the Nebraska fan base.
Yeah, definitely. He actually has a pretty unbelievable amount of roots in the state of Nebraska. His grandfather was Jerry Bush, who was a head coach at Nebraska in the 50s and 60s, and led Nebraska to a win over Wilt Chamberlain. His other grandfather, Otto Hoiberg, worked for the University of Nebraska for a really long time. His parents both graduated from the University of Nebraska, actually met in high school in Lincoln. The first Hoiberg in America actually was in Nystead, Nebraska in 1907. So, this thing dates back a really long time. So I think, the one thing that you can always count on is Nebraska fans love their own. And so in a way that they kind of can see how Fred is kind of their own in a lot of ways. And, I think there's the shine kind of rubbed off a little bit whenever Fred, ended up letting a couple guys go. People were a little bit upset about that. But I think in general, he's benefiting from, to be honest, he's benefiting from not being Tim Miles, in a similar way where any coach that's hired after a not super popular one, just kind of, you're not that person, therefore you're better, And so Nebraska fans, I think, are really interested in kind of how this is going to work, and they're really excited about it. You know, it's amazing to me that Nebraska basketball is a topic of conversation on radio airwaves here in Omaha and Lincoln in May. I mean, usually Nebraska basketball is dead, and we're talking about the second string left tackle for the football team. And instead, you know, Nebraska basketball kind of dominated the airways. It's kept me busy. I mean, it's been, you know, you would expect in May not to be writing so much college basketball stuff, but, you know, people want to read it, and there's just still so much going on. So, you know, I think excitement is pretty high, and they've kind of accepted Fred as one of their own.
And nothing is as good for business as a high-profile coaching change, and you've covered one of them. Could there be another one on the horizon? What's up with Nebraska baseball? I know it's a big weekend for them. They're closing out the regular season with the Big Ten leader in Michigan, but there seems to be some angst over the performance of Darren Erstad.
Yeah, you know, and you know, so I think Nebraska's tied for third right now, and I believe they still have a chance. You know, the Big Ten is so good this year, and it's so compact there in the middle that I think there's still a chance that they could finish sixth, or they could finish, you know, second or third in the conference. And so, you know, this weekend series against Michigan is really, really big deal and really important. You know, there is some angst, I think, towards Darren. I'm not totally certain whether or not Bill Moose wants to make yet another coaching hire. You know, he's had to do football and basketball and doing baseball. You know, he's got a good relationship with Darren, and Darren Erstad, you know, he played on the football team. He was a punter, and he's kind of beloved here. But at the same time, you know, I think in general, the way that I, you know, at least personally look at it, you know, Nebraska fans, since 2012, their solution to everything has been fire the coach. And that goes back to Bo Pelini. You know, they wanted Bo Pelini fired after the 2012, 2013, 2014 season. People wanted Mike Riley fired immediately after he was hired. People wanted Tim Miles fired, you know, 4 of the 7 years that he was here. And so I think that there's just this thing, you know, Nebraska's sports in general have not had that much success beyond volleyball in a really long time. You know, they haven't won a, you know, baseball is the only sport that's won a conference title in terms of revenue sports that have won a conference title. And football hasn't won a conference title in 20 years now. Basketball has never been close. And so, you know, I think that there's just this urge from Nebraska fans that they want success. And if they're not going to get it immediately, then fire the coach and find someone who can do it. And I think some of the angst toward Darren comes with territory in terms of hiring Scott Frost and hiring Fred Hoiberg. You know, Nebraska went out and got Scott Frost, who was arguably kind of, you know, one of the hottest coaches coming out of that season, and went and got Fred Hoiberg, and everybody knows that name. And so, you know, I think people are a little, you know, I think firing Darren and kind of that crowd is maybe a little too loud. But at the same time, you know, in general, I think if the football team starts doing well, people will be a little less worried about kind of Darren Erstad's job status. And so I think in general, if the football team is, you know, winning nine, ten games a year, then they're going to be as worried about baseball. But there's just been such a thirst for success, and it's not been quenched in a long time. I think that's kind of contributing to what's happening.
Christopher, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. No problem.
Christopher Hedy of the Omaha World Herald. As Fred Hoiberg, it has not taken him long to completely turn that program, tear it down to the studs, basically. Six weeks, and that roster looks virtually unrecognizable at this point.
I know there are some people upset, but they shouldn't be. Wouldn't you rather have a coach that comes in and says, okay, hey, this is nothing against you. You just don't fit into what we do. I will help you find a new place to play where you fit in, and I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to waste your time and have you sit on the bench, where a lot of coaches will say, well, we need the depth. We're going to keep this guy around, string him along, and keep him on campus. I actually appreciate that he came out and said, all right, we're going to turn the roster over right away. We're not going to waste any time. And that's exactly what he's done. And it's going to, I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Interesting question from David in Hudson on the text line. Who wins a conference title first, Fred Hoiberg or Scott Frost? I think it's that there's no easy answer to that, but I think it's probably easier in basketball than it is football. Just my hunch. That's not saying that Fred Hoiberg is going to immediately make an impact, although, as Christopher points out, 16-16, I think, was the record the first year at Iowa State.
It was.
You can get things turned around relatively quickly when you go this route. And Fred Hoiberg has wasted little time in trying to construct a college basketball team in sort of an NBA free agency type of way. The transfer stuff is not going away. For those folks out there that want to talk about quote-unquote doing things the right way and the recruiting players for 4 years and or keeping them on campus for 5 years, that's all fine and dandy. But when you've got 700 kids or whatever it is in the transfer portal in basketball alone, where each program is basically averaging two departures a year for the most part, when you look at the number of D1 teams and the number of transfers that are out there, it's a sign of the times, and you're either living in the moment or you're trying to play catch up. And it's interesting to see whether or not in a year or two Fred can get a core of freshmen to build around, and then we know he's going to continue to supplement the roster with transfers every year. That's what he did at Iowa State and did it to a great level of success. But this to me is slightly unexpected, that the amount of turnover. Now, granted, there are a number of players that defected almost immediately.
Yes.
When Tim Miles.
A lot of guys either, left on their own.
Do you want nice or do you want to win? And then that seemed to be a reference to Tim Miles, who's an all-time nice guy. But Leo DeRocher had a saying about nice guys. I think most people are familiar with it. And so now you've got a winner. And Fred Herbert was a pretty nice guy himself. He was always great when we dealt with him when he was the head coach at Iowa State. But Nebraska fans want to win. They want to win just about as much as any fan base in the country, whether it's football, men's basketball, volleyball, baseball. It's an interesting series this weekend, by the way, for the Huskers as they take on the Wolverines. Iowa closes out the regular season against Maryland, and then it'll be off to the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. Speaking of Omaha, 4:49, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, get those dialing fingers ready, because it's the first of God knows how many times we're going to play today. Race to Win on the way when we return after this.
Sunshine, grass, beer,
baseball.
You call that a strike? Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run. High five.
Hot dogs.
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. By now, I'm sure you know about the great wings, drinks, and atmosphere at B-Dubs. But burger fans, I have great news for you. If you stop into Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll feel like you've hit a home run when you bite into the brand new All-American Cheeseburger. Two fresh, never-frozen patties covered in gooey American cheese and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And while you're screaming at the inept officials at the top of your lungs, enjoy one of the dozens of ice-cold beer options offered at Buffalo Wild Wings. Get the all-new American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings today. And as always, please drink responsibly.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get more done. Like the AutoZone Rewards Program. Members get more, like a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. Looking to protect your engine? Regular oil and oil filter changes are the best way to keep your engine running strong and running long. And if you're looking to do the job yourself, AutoZone can help. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Twins are on the West Coast for the first time this season. First of four with Seattle coming up on Thursday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:10 start. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins. Hope you join us on Thursday night right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:53, welcome back in the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programs like this one and the gym class. You can tune in to Scott and Mark tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It's the debut of the highly anticipated summer topic series. They're going to be talking about officiating, I believe, subject that we tackled today,
yes.
Replay in the NHL and other sports. So tune in tomorrow, brought to you by Third Base Brewery, as Scott and Mark will hit the airwaves at 3 o'clock. They'll also have another chance for you to take home a $30 gift card to Austad's Golf here in Cedar Rapids. We need caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. And not only do we need caller number 6 to play Race to Win, but we need caller number 6 to find 2 matches on the virtual prize board. Desperately need,
we need a
for
winner.
That to happen, because we have, by my count, 7 remaining prizes. And we just have a little over 2 hours today and 4 hours tomorrow to give these prizes away. We've got a gift card to the coffee tasting to Scooter's Coffee for 15 people. It's like $125 value. Tickets to see Peter Frampton, a Cedar Rapids River Kings prize package, Minnesota Twins tickets, the gift card for Brick Alley in Marion, and the Fantastic Escape passes, as well as the gift card, $100 gift card to the Iowa Magic Shop as well. Those are the 7 prizes that are remaining at this point, and it looks like we've got our contestant. We're ready to play Race to Win.
Race to Win.
It is Matt in Cedar Rapids. Matt, I'm going to ask you a very important question. Have you been following along? Yo, Matt, you got us?
A little bit, yep.
Okay, been following along a little bit. Which of those 7 remaining prizes would you most like to win?
The Fantastic Escape.
Okay, the Fantastic Escape. Well, let's see. We've got the following numbers available here in order. 1, 2, 5, 6, 11, 12, 13, 19, 23, and 25 through 29. Which is your first number?
Go with 23.
All right, let's see what is behind door number 23.
2 free admissions for 1 hour of fun at the Fantastic Escape.
Okay, there it is.
Halfway there, Matt.
Find the match.
We'll go with 29.
All right, let's see what is behind door number 29.
2 free admissions for 1 hour of fun at the Fantastic Escape.
Ah, we finally have a winner after trying so hard yesterday. Matt, congratulations. We're going to go ahead and put you on hold, and Kyle is going to, I think, drop those in the mail to you, the passes to the Fantastic Escape.
I think I see the stamps and everything.
23 and 29 are off the board. We're going to play at least two more times today. We'll play once an hour as we try to clean out the prize closet here on Race to Win. Now down to six remaining prizes. It gets easier as things go along here, but still tickets to see the first place Minnesota Twins take on the Oakland Athletics at Target Field later this summer. The injury update on Mitch Garver sounds as if he's going to be out just a couple weeks, so no long-term loss to Mitch Garver and the Twins there. They did make an interesting roster move earlier today. They sent reliever Trevor Hildenberger to AAA Rochester, the former Midwest League All-Star with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Austin Adams comes up to join the Twins bullpen, a former minor league free agent signing. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Very busy today, a number of people with a number of thoughts on many things, including officiating in last night's Game 3 between St. Louis and San Jose. We'll circle back around to that. When we come back, we'll set the table for what's in store for the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
4:58, and we welcome you back in for a quick in and out as hour number one draws to a close here on a Thursday. A reminder, we'll be back at Mulligan's on Old Marion Road next Thursday, the KGUM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. And as a reminder for that, let's give away a $30 gift card to Mulligan's right now to 319-366-1600. You can enjoy $30 of food or beverage at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. Just take the 42nd Street exit off 380 and head east until you run into Old Marion Road. Left-hand turn, and then your second left is going to put you right in the parking lot of Mulligan's. Happy hour, daily from 3 until 6, and tonight, Thursday nights, half-price wings, boneless and bone-in. Some people like to call boneless wings chicken nuggets. I'm not one of them. I don't judge. However you prefer your chicken wings, half price from 6 until close at Mulligan's. We'll find out who our winner is when we return. And how much money did the Big Ten make last year? That's not a misprint. We'll tell you, Jim Delaney is rolling in cash after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Round one of the PGA Championship today at Bethpage Black in New York, and the defending champ had a great day. Brooks Koepka with a course record 63. He's the leader at 7 under par, one shot ahead of Danny Lee. Tiger Woods started his round with a double bogey and finished with a 2 over 72. Game two of the NBA's Western Conference Finals tonight in Oakland. The Warriors lead the Trailblazers 1-0. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern. Make it 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. Kevin Durant out again for the Warriors. Zion Williamson's stepfather, Lee Anderson, tells 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Williamson hasn't considered going back to Duke. ESPN's Tim Legler says Williamson could be very happy if he ends up in New Orleans.
He's going to find an incredible connection, I believe, to Alvin Gentry, who is one of the easiest guys in the world to be around and connect with in the way he communicates with players.
Tim Legler on Golic and Wingo. Cardinals corner Patrick Peterson will start the season with a 6-game suspension for PEDs.
Coming up on Friday, ponies, putts, and pulled calf muscles. We'll have the latest from the Warriors Blazers as well as the PGA Championship, plus one of your last chances to come golf with us at Whistling Straits in the Wingo Cup. Friday, Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to Spain.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Home Medical. Connect with CarePro for the medical products you need and the professional support you deserve. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
The Home Depot has easy-to-follow instructions for assembling your new grill. Step 1. Let us assemble it and deliver it for free. Right now, buy any grill over $399 and assembly and delivery are free. So you can spend your time enjoying your new grill instead of assembling it or even getting it home. Today is the day for doing, with free assembly and delivery on all grills over $399. Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th in store only.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
The Golden State Warriors take Game 1 at home. Will Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers bounce back in Game 2?
Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock here on The Gym, 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
503, we welcome you back in, or welcome you to, however you depend to look at things. Maybe you're just getting in your car after a day at the office, or working outdoors. And I was right yesterday at Lunchbox Heroes when I predicted yesterday was going to be maybe the only nice day of the spring, because this seems more summer-like today, although I have a couple amateur meteorologists who informed me that we're going to be taking a step back temperature-wise tomorrow. It was a little warm for me today. Not gonna lie. Not a huge fan of it being this warm this early in May. As Alex furiously, he's either texting the NHL about last night's
65
game,
degrees
or he's
tomorrow.
Checking tomorrow's forecast.
Checking tomorrow's forecast. Did you just take credit for saying that yesterday was nice, it was going to heat up quickly? And
yeah, because I was finally right about something.
Yeah, but did you just not look at the forecast?
I had no idea.
For today?
None.
No? You had
nope.
No idea? Okay.
Literally woke
I'll
give
up it to you.
And was sweating profusely this morning because it was warm in the house. Oh, must be.
Gotta crank that AC.
Must
up.
Be warm outside. Not yet.
Man,
you know what?
Though.
You ain't paying the bills at my house. It's what I tell my son when he starts punching buttons on the. He's into the. He likes to open the windows.
You play that card with your son?
He likes to open the windows now. And we told him when the heat was on, we're going to start taking money out of the piggy bank. You can have the windows open, but we're going to start taking money out of the piggy bank. And that was enough to get him to stop opening the windows. We've got a solid 5 o'clock hour for you. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. We will
can't wait.
Get his opinion on the debacle last night in St. Louis as the NHL's inept officials handed San Jose a 2-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals.
You know something's wrong when Greg makes an appearance on Outside the Lines today.
Yes, and we'll have to ask him about that, but hockey is getting a ton of attention, and not for all the right reasons.
No, mostly for none of the right reasons.
Golf is getting some attention today. It's the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black on Long Island. The largest cheer of the day, reportedly, for John Daly, who's tootling around the course in a golf cart because he was.
We need to get him like a scooter.
Allowed to. I don't know what his medical malady is. I know
apparently
Casey,
it's a bad knee.
Casey Martin, a couple decades ago, broke ground with the ability to use a golf cart. He's got New York Yankee logoed pants on from his company, his apparel company, which are they run about $110 for the pants that he's wearing today. He was smoking a Marlboro.
Oh, yeah. He's just ripping heaters on the golf course.
He has a McDonald's cup with maybe Diet Coke in it.
Diet Coke, of course.
And maybe something else. I don't know. But the guy is a folk hero. And he has no chance. And I think that's part of the reason why people gravitate to him. No, let's be honest. I don't think anybody has a chance with the way that Brooks Koepka is playing. And that includes Tiger Woods, who the idiot that won all of the money betting on Tiger Woods to win the Masters, $85,000 or whatever it was that he ponied up into almost $1 million, $1.2 million. That guy who bet on Tiger $100,000 to win all four majors this year.
Didn't he put $100,000?
Yeah, he put $100,000 of his winnings on that.
Yeah, well, he's going to lose those.
Torches, $100,000, which, interestingly enough, and you're not going to get this treatment at the casinos in Iowa when sports gambling is legalized here. When it technically it is legal now, it has not been put into place yet, but the casinos here are not going to be refunding your money just because your feelings are hurt over last night's game. But online casinos, at least one of them, are refunding the money that folks wagered on the money line of St. Louis last night in Game 3. So if you, was it Bovada?
Which, I think it was FanDuel.
FanDuel. If you wagered money on the money line, St. Louis to win, you get your money back today, even though they did not win. Kind of, to me, is a dangerous precedent to set, but so
that
be it.
Precedent has been set a lot lately, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We'll get Kyle to give us a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber coming up in about 20 minutes as well. Some recruiting news today for the Iowa football program. They pick up a 3-star running back from the Chicago suburbs, LaShawn Williams. The other Iowa Hawkeye-related news today, Isaiah Moss has found a landing spot at Arkansas. So all of the off-season talk about somebody from Iowa City going to Fayetteville turned out to be true. It wasn't Fran McCaffrey. Wound up being Isaiah Moss.
Do you think that plane was in Iowa City to see Isaiah Moss?
The owner of the plane has now blocked the plane from being viewed on Flight Tracker.
Can you do that?
Lesson. Apparently you can.
So why aren't people smart enough to do that in most situations?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Like during coaching searches?
The length that people will go to find out information in this day and age does not surprise me one iota anymore. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, the sponsor for the text line. Congratulations are in order to Tony in Cedar Rapids. He's going to get a $30 gift card to Mulligan's. We gave that away going into the top of the hour. We still have several opportunities, if you're just joining us, for you to win with us here today. We've got tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels later on, I believe later on this month. They're back home next Friday. I think these tickets are for the Z102.9 Mug Club night against the Peoria Chiefs. I could be wrong on that. But Colonels tickets are on the way sometime between now and 7 o'clock. Plus, we are playing Race to Win at least two more times here in the 2 hours that we have left, once in the 5 o'clock hour, once in the 6 o'clock hour. This is interesting. This came out while we were on the air in the last hour, but Major League Baseball is set to announce that the London Series, which began this year with the Yankees and the Red Sox, is going to continue in 2020, and it's going to be the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Where do they play those games?
Agreed to go to London.
Is it at Wembley Stadium?
That's a question that I should probably know the answer to, and I don't know the answer to that. But this is not something that I necessarily think is fantastic. But
I hate when they go out of the country to play games. It's not. I just don't like it.
It stinks if it's the Cubs and the Mariners or if it's the Cubs and somebody else, but to take a rivalry game where, I mean, whether you like or respect or loathe the other team in a rivalry, there's no better atmosphere than going to Wrigley Field or Busch Stadium for a game between the Cubs and the Cardinals. There's just so much unbridled hatred there between those two. And you're going to deny the fans one game of seeing that in person, unless you've got Marlins man money and can hop a jet to go to London for the game. It just, I don't know. There's something that, to me, doesn't seem right about that. But it's a rivalry. I'm sure there are a lot of expats in London that are going to love seeing baseball, and Red Sox-Yankees is a rivalry. I don't know how many of those... how many of their fans complained about that game being moved to London? So it is what it is at this point. 366-1600.
What is this crap about Zion going back to Duke? We can talk about this a little bit later, but what in the world is this?
That might be the would you topic today. That might be the...
Fair enough.
That might be the would you topic because it's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese at this point, but ESPN...
Are we that bored right now?
In its never-ending quest to make something a topic to drive 24 hours of news programming, have latched onto this. He doesn't have an agent. He could go back to Duke. Duke sophomore Zion Williamson. Not a chance. Not a chance.
Yes, it'd be a great idea for him to go back to school where he's making no money. And take the risk that the Sacramento Kings get the number one pick next year and waste another full year of his career.
Work on that accounting degree or whatever that he's... Maybe he wants to go work for a Fortune 500 company. I don't know. I think he wants to play basketball and make millions of dollars in the NBA.
It's what he's really good at.
Probably doesn't care whether that's in Los Angeles or New York or whether it's in New Orleans. 366-1600. Now we can gird ourselves for... several weeks of discussion about rumor has it New Orleans may not be interested in taking. They may be interested in taking somebody else. Zion may fall to number two. Whatever it takes to keep the storylines going. I mentioned going into the top of the hour that there was a pretty significant story that came out yesterday with regard to the Big Ten Conference. And I think it's worth noting here in the heart of Big Ten country that Jim Delaney, who is set to go out next year in his swan song as commissioner, has put the Big Ten in a position. You can argue SEC, Big Ten, which conference is more dominant until you're blue in the face, and I'm sure if we've got SEC fans or Big 12 fans listening, they can come at me with all sort of statistics about bowl victories or ratings for bowl games. It was revealed yesterday that the Big Ten made $759 million during fiscal year 2018, which is by and far a record for any college conference. Nowhere close to coming anywhere near making that amount of money. As a matter of fact, it is a 48% increase over what the Big Ten made in 2017, which was $512.9 million.
How does he do that?
The TV deals, for the most part.
The Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Fox, all of those combined spell that amount of money for the Big Ten Conference.
Yes, and extrapolated out, it spells about $54 million to Gary Barta and the University of Iowa. $54 million.
You could do a lot with $54 million.
And you're going to get another sizable chunk of money in another 365 days when they disperse whatever they make in 2019.
And that's taking into account the fact that Rutgers and Maryland are still making chump change compared to everyone else.
Yeah, I still don't know how you accept that deal, but they were so desperate to get in on. They knew that the payday was coming. They just had to wait for it, where Rutgers, I think, took a $12 million or something. Like, they're on a graduated payment plan.
They're on the Bobby Bonilla plan.
After, is it 5 years, something like that, they finally graduate to being full-fledged members. But for
they
right
get
now,
their big boy pants.
Right now, they're getting pennies on the dollar as everybody else is living large. The SEC last season, fiscal year 2018, I shouldn't say season, made $660 million. So the Big Ten raked in about $100 million more than the SEC. There's no, I don't know how you could possibly argue that any commissioner in college sports has had more of an impact on his conference, his league, than Jim Delaney. When he took over for Wayne Duke back in the late 80s, I think it was 1989 or thereabouts, when he first saw the light that it took other conferences decades to see, that the way forward was going to be expanding. And he brought Penn State into the fold, and the Big Ten became the Big 11. And little did we know at that point, when they tucked the 11 into the logo, that that was just the tip of the iceberg. But Nebraska follows, and then Maryland and Rutgers. And you can debate, I guess, until you're blue in the face, whether or not those moves are paying dividends on the field, the product for the Big Ten. But by adding Maryland and Rutgers, you wind up getting $54 million if you're Iowa or Minnesota. So I don't ever want to hear another Iowa fan complain about the fact that Rutgers sucks at football, or that Maryland and Rutgers are watering down the Big Ten product, because every 4 years or whatever, you have to have Maryland and Rutgers as a home game on your schedule. $54 million is what Iowa's take of this massive haul is going to be.
I go back to it. The people will debate the product on the field a lot of times, or the product on the basketball court between conferences. And I will say, and I'm not, this is not a shot at the Big Ten, but relative to what a lot of people believe the Big Ten is nationally, there are a lot of doubters. There are a lot of people that don't think it stacks up to some of the other conferences, yet look at what he has done marketing it, and he has put it right there just on marketing alone with all of those conferences, because he knows how big these schools are and how many alumni there that are at all of these schools. And he, by creating the TV network and then all of these television deals, he has so many eyes on his product.
And not only that, it's even the deals that you look at on the surface and say, this is crappy. The Pinstripe Bowl, which is a godforsaken D-level bowl game, played a couple days after December in one of the most expensive cities to travel to, especially around the holidays, in New York City. But do you know inherently what comes with the Pinstripe Bowl? Watch a game, watch a baseball game at Yankee Stadium sometime on TV, and tell me what you see. You're going to see the Tiger Hawk logo a lot, because there's Big Ten advertising in Yankee Stadium throughout the summer. And who's on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball a lot? The Yankees. And so you get free advertising all over the place during baseball games just by having a low-tier bowl game played there. It,
I can tell you love your experience.
It's 4D chess. And Jim Delaney has been checkmating right and left since he took over the Big Ten years ago. Yeah, and yes, I loved my experience in New York at the Pinstripe Bowl about as much as you loved Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals last night.
Point taken.
Poll question, by the way, today at KGYMradio.com. Seems pretty easy to me. Seems pretty easy to Alex. We'll ask Greg Wyshynski his thoughts on this in a couple minutes when he joins us. But should all goals be reviewable in the NHL? Yes or no? If you were paying attention to last night's game in St. Louis, you know that there was a highly controversial ending to the game, as Erik Karlsson knocked in the game winner on a very blatant blatantly obvious hand pass from Timo Meier, and the officials did nothing about it. San Jose now has a 2-1 lead in the series, and is this a good or bad thing that Boston could wrap things up with a sweep of Carolina tonight? Because they're going to be sitting around if they sweep, they're going to be sitting around getting rusty for a very long time waiting for the Western Conference Finals to play out.
And if the Blues tie it at 2 on Friday, I think this series is going to go the distance. And then you have a team finishing up their series tonight.
Go the distance.
Waiting for a week and a half to play again. Is that good or bad?
Did you hear that? I thought somebody said go the distance.
I didn't hear it.
We've seen this in baseball a lot of times in the World Series where you have, say, the AL champion finishes in a sweep and the NL goes 6 or 7 games. And it, more often than not, it's the team that winds up sweeping that comes out a little rusty. You think, oh, man, they're dominant. And they're going to rest up and they're going to be rested and ready. And there's something to be said about playing games within a relatively short period of time. So I guess what I'm saying here is I think Boston's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And the only thing that could possibly be holding Boston back at this point is sweeping Carolina tonight and sitting around and getting complacent.
I don't know. Based on this trend of San Jose and some of the weird and wacky things happening in their series, but I actually think that this is going to be a good wake up call for the Blues. They dominated those second and third periods. I thought they got to their game. If they can tie it up at 2, I think that this is a team that has thrived off of adversity all season. So I'm not ready to hang things up. The last time something like this happened, and it wasn't really anything to this level, but there were a couple of questionable calls that went against them in game 2 of their series a few years ago with the Blackhawks in St. Louis, and they went on the road and won 2 in Chicago responding to that. So hopefully they can come out with that kind of effort against another really good team.
70-43 is taking umbrage with the phrasing. Goals are reviewable, hand passes are not.
Well, that's the point, though. On any scoring play in the NFL, there's a review.
So instead of goals, we should say scoring play.
Well, no.
Do we need to change the phraseology?
No. I think the phrasing is good.
Okay.
I think the phrasing is because shouldn't any goal be reviewable? Now, I get the point of where do you draw the line, but if a clear infraction like an irrefutable hand pass is committed, should it be reviewable? I guess that's what we're asking.
And I think however you phrase it, you know what we're trying to get at today, and Greg Wyshynski is going to most likely say the same thing here. And if you're number 4 in the pecking order, and I'm not going to litigate the order ahead of the NHL, whether it's the NFL followed by the NBA and Major League Baseball, although I think that's probably the order. If you're number 4 and you're still struggling for market share and you're struggling to be discussed and taken seriously and viewed in the same light as the NBA postseason, which is going on concurrently, this is not good for your league. The fact that the only way your league can get talked about on ESPN's national programming is the, I know a lot of people are comparing this to the Rams and the Saints, and that was a huge call that impacted one team going to the Super Bowl. This is game 3 of a conference finals, but still, it's in the same vein. And if you look back at the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs, is this going to be the most talked about? If you throw in the call that was made in the series with San Jose and Colorado, which was another really brutal
and Vegas
mistake. Vegas, which the league had to apologize for that.
Which I'm assuming they're going to be. They've already admitted that the call was wrong. I'm assuming that a call has gone to Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the Blues, from the league last night. But apparently, Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues, pulled somewhat of a Brian Ferentz last night. Went pounding on the officials.
Well,
door dropped a couple expletives.
I think Brian made out okay after that.
He did.
Still worked out for him, so no harm, no foul. And I would be mad too. But it's a bad look for your league when that's the dominating story of your postseason. I got to be honest with you. I'm happy to see this coming across Twitter. TMZ is reporting that Ric Flair is expected to make a full recovery, according to his wife. I prepared most of the day to do part of the show as a tribute to Ric Flair. Had he passed away, there were some, let's just say, differing reports out there about what type of situation he was in. Was he rushed to the hospital? And
wasn't it a family member that came out and said, no, these reports are greatly exaggerated?
I believe there was a well-sourced wrestling media member that said, hey, wait a minute. We got another Joe DiMaggio situation on our hands here. That's a dated reference that maybe a lot of people won't recall, but NBC reported the passing of Yankees legend Joe DiMaggio when Joe DiMaggio was very much still alive, and it did not go over well with the Yankee Clipper. 527, we need to take a quick timeout. The Nature Boy, still alive and kicking. In the event of a nuclear war, I believe it will be cockroaches, Twinkies, and Ric Flair. Everybody else will be a crispy critter, and it's just going to be cockroaches, Twinkies, and Ric Flair. At least I hope so. 527. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you another Big Board update presented by Alexander Lumber. And then Greg Wyshynski will be by to give us his thoughts on the tragedy in St. Louis last night. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today. That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the how can we help you feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh, my goodness. I put them in top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
Get your game face on because Drive Green Demo Days are back. Come test drive the latest equipment. Attendees who register and are 18 or older will receive coupons for $500 off a 1 through 5 Series John Deere tractor, $200 off turf and utility equipment, plus savings on parts and attachments. Drive Green, don't miss it. Some conditions apply. Drive Green event dates vary by participating dealer. Please see your local participating dealer for restrictions and to learn when these offers will expire.
John Deere Drive Green Demo Days at City Tractor, May 16th through the 18th.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Twins are on the West Coast for the first time this season. First of four with Seattle coming up on Thursday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:10 start. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins. Hope you join us on Thursday night right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:31, we welcome you back in. It is the midway point. You may call it the turn if you are a golfer of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com set to join us shortly. The PGA Championship being played at Bethpage Black on Long Island. And to once again underscore just exactly where golf is as a sport, if one were to Google PGA Championship leaderboard, the top returns feature CBS Sports 2019 PGA Championship leaderboard, live coverage, and Tiger Woods score. That's the headline. ESPN, Tiger rides roller coaster round to 72 at PGA. Another CBS Sports article, Tiger Woods score. Far too many mistakes lead to rough start at 2019 PGA Championship. And the Detroit Free Press 2019 PGA Championship live leaderboard round one, seemingly innocuous. Look who the photo is. It's Tiger Woods.
It's not Brooks. Oh, it's Tiger Woods. Okay.
It's not John Daly burning the heater with the McDonald's mystery McDonald's cup. We don't know the contents
of
the
fluid in there, but we don't know what
he's treating the PGA Championship the way that most people would treat a weekend round at one of the city courses here in Cedar Rapids, and I'm here for it. Why not? In his $110 self-promoting loudmouth pants. 5:32. We'll get you an update on how things are going at Bethpage Black before 7 o'clock tonight. But first, Kyle is going to bring you a big board update presented by the good folks at Alexander Lumber and the Answers by Alexander Showroom, where you can find them on South Gilbert in Iowa City if you're looking to update or complete the look of the windows in your home. Answers by Alexander. Here's Kyle.
Former Hawkeye Isaiah Moss announced his transfer destination to be the University of Arkansas shortly after we got off the air last night. His father said he's trying to get to the next level in his basketball career, so he'll be working on that with head coach Eric Musselman, recently hired from Nevada. Another former Hawkeye and two former Cyclones are trying to do the same thing at the NBA Combine, which kicked off in full swing today. Tyler Cook came in at 6'7", 245 pounds, with a good wingspan and huge hands. Mariel Shayok was a bit small at only 6'4" and under 200 pounds. Talon Horton Tucker definitely had the most interesting day. At 235 pounds, he's only 6'2½", but also has a 7'1¼" wingspan. And so that height's a little short, but the 10¾ difference between his height and wingspan is the second largest ever recorded at the combine. You take those wonky measurements paired with the report this morning that he didn't scan $16 worth of groceries at a Walmart back in February, and yeah, he had a weird day. Iowa football got a commitment during our first hour today from three-star Illinois running back LaShawn Williams. His other most notable offers were from Cincinnati and Kansas State. The Colonels are in Clinton tonight, beginning a four-game weekend series with the Lumber Kings. And then after the show tonight here on KGYM, we'll have the Warriors and Blazers on the South and Main gyms. And then around 8:30, we'll pick up the Twins and Mariners skating started out west.
Tiger Woods 2 over today on Long Island, so he is 9 strokes behind Brooks Koepka, who has made the PGA Championship, where regardless of where it's played, his own personal playground in recent years. Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson both at 1 under par, so 6 strokes behind Koepka, and Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson at 1 over through 17. Zach going off the tees a little bit later today, so he is still on the course finishing up. But Brooks Koepka, your leader at the moment, all alone atop the leaderboard at 7 under. And we can't bring up John Daly and not give you a score update. John Daly has finished his round today, tied for 112th at 5 over par. Not the highest score by any stretch of the imagination. 3-6-6-1600. What's in the cup? I want to know what's in John Daly's cup.
I'm just guessing a little bit of non-endorsement, Kentucky Tavern.
It could be a John Daly.
Diet Coke.
Jeremiah Weed and Water, I believe, is a John Daly. It's been a while since I've ordered one of those at a golf course, but we cover all the bases here, and that's actually tomorrow with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, a weekly segment throughout the baseball season on Friday. But we've gone from talking about the PGA Championship to now segueing into, once again, the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Western Conference Finals. Game 3 last night, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com, kind enough to join us. I know it's been a big day for you, Greg, as my co-host Alex and I were joking. It takes a lot to talk hockey on Outside the Lines, and there you were on ESPN earlier today. So we appreciate you fitting us in to your busy schedule today, but what can you make of how that game finished last night in St. Louis?
Well, it was bad. pretty embarrassing for the NHL. I've already seen Colin Campbell there, Senior VP of Hockey Operations, and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, both on the air in various places saying that they got the call wrong on the hand pass. They sort of admitted as such last night between the lines, saying that, well, you know, it's not a reviewable play, but kind of acknowledging that they blew the call. So it's frustrating. I mean, it's the second time that the San Jose Sharks have been the beneficiary of a mistake by the officiating crew. The other one, of course, being Game 7 against the Vegas Golden Knights when they were gifted a five-minute major they shouldn't have gotten. So it's some luck on their part and some rotten luck on the part of the St. Louis Blues who saw the officials literally hand the game to the Sharks last night.
Greg, I'm not going to ask you how four officials on the ice are not watching the puck and don't see that. I don't think there's any answer for that. But as I'm watching this last night, I'm thinking to myself, there are so many reviewable plays that there's so much gray area, and I don't think anybody knows what goaltender interference is. You see these offside plays like in the San Jose and Colorado series where it happened like 2 minutes before a goal get reviewed. You see whether or not a player intends to kick the puck in the net, the intent is reviewed. How is a hand pass not a reviewable play?
So that's right. I wrote about most of these incidences that we've had in the playoffs in a piece that ran earlier this week on ESPN. And it's kind of stunning to think about all of the plays that we've had that were points of controversy. I mean, you haven't even gotten to the puck that was played off the netting or the various goaltender interference calls and everything like that. So I think the tough part is that once we get done with this postseason, there's going to be a lot of people asking for changes to the rule book. And a lot of people asking for the expansion of video review. But like you said, I mean, it's almost going to be like every general manager is going to come to that meeting with a different agenda. And which are the things that people put a premium on and which are the things that maybe are just personal causes. I personally, and you mentioned the offside, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer at this point that the video reviews of offside plays haven't worked. They're taking what I think are good goals off the board. It's embarrassing that the Colorado Avalanche had a goal taken away for a guy that was standing nowhere near the play, just waiting to get on the bench. This isn't the spirit of the rule as far as why they started reviewing offside. So hopefully that goes by the wayside. But other things like a high stick that results in a major penalty and a hand pass before a goal is scored. I mean, you have to imagine that they're going to enact some sort of legislation to get those things under their review umbrella.
Greg, I make you commissioner for a day. How do you address this? How do you fix it?
I expand replay. I mean, here's the thing. The first time that they started to review these plays, the on-ice officials, I thought, would be against it. I mean, who likes to have somebody higher up the food chain from them pointing out their mistakes, right? But then I came to realize, in talking to these guys and talking to the NHL, that the officials kind of like the idea of having oversight. It's a really fast game. And I think at the end of the day, they would rather get the call right at the end of this review process than have a bad call stand. It makes them look worse if the bad call just stands. So if they're for the expansion replay, I think we should all be for it. And, you know, put some controls in place, maybe just focus it around the goals being scored. We don't want to start reviewing, you know, the holding penalties and stuff like that. But in a situation like last night, I don't think there's any reason why the officials can't, you know, have a conference, take a part of a particular play and look at a replay and see
what actually happened on the play, just to make sure they get the call right.
In the meantime, I know you mentioned some of the NHL higher-ups going on the radio and admitting that they got it wrong. I know a lot of Blues fans, I follow Blues Twitter very closely, were upset with the length of time that it took for somebody to come out and address it. Was there really anything the NHL could do? I mean, you're not going to change the result, and you're not going to make Blues fans happy, but could they have handled it better in the meantime?
Well, I mean, they could have gotten the call right.
Well, that too. I mean, the post call.
Yeah, no. What they said is the truth, which is that based on the way the rule book is currently structured, there's really nothing they could do. It's not a reviewable play. So if they blow the call on the ice, there's no mechanism through which that they can, you know, review the call and change it. So there's nothing they can do. What I've been impressed with is the reaction by the St. Louis Blues, who have every right to be incensed. And even last night, after the incident, in the heat of the moment, those guys were pretty calm. Those guys were pretty focused. Those guys are pretty, you know, these things are out of our control, and we have to shift our focus to Game 4. And as much as I'm sure there was some, you know, profanities and throwing stuff around in the locker room when they immediately got back in there, within, you know, 10, 15 minutes, it was sort of put behind them in a way that maybe I didn't anticipate it would be.
You kind of lead me right to my next question. I know you wrote about this today at ESPN, but this team all year, this Blues team, has been resilient since December. They've been one of the best teams in the league since January. Can they use this as a rallying point and feed off of what was a really, really good performance in period 2 and 3 last night?
Yeah, I think their rallying point is less going to be the call in overtime. And, you know, this is why I can't be a coach, because I'd put a poster of that call on the wall and say, get angry, boys.
I mean, I already have the poster up, Greg. But,
yeah, right. But I think they're more focused on the end of the game as being the rallying point. As in, you know, the one thing you constantly hear from teams when they get to the point of a controversial call deciding a game is, well, we should have never put ourselves in that situation where a call could determine the game. And anyone who watched that Game 3 knows if that Logan Couture goal that happens with just over a minute left in regulation doesn't go in the net, we're not even talking about this right now. We're talking about a 2-1 Blues series lead. So I think their rallying cry is that they played pretty much two great periods of hockey in Game 3. And then had a lapse at the end. And you know, granted, the leading scorer of the playoffs scoring a goal is going to happen occasionally. But they had that Game 1. It should have never gotten overtime, and I think that's going to be the point of emphasis.
Greg Wyshynski with us of ESPN.com. This series seems to me to have all the trappings of a 7-game series at this point, does it not?
It does. It's a really tightly played series between two teams that are pretty similar. They both are really deep at forward. They both have a couple of great defensemen. If there is an advantage, it's probably Jordan Binnington over Mark Jones, although Jones acquitted himself quite well after a shaky first two periods last night. And they both like to exert their will on the forecheck. It's been fun to watch in these first three games, each team getting a good stretch of time of domination in each game. But you're right. It just seems like one of these series that's just destined to go 7. And that's partially because the San Jose Sharks seem unable to play less than 7 games in a series based on their inconsistency. So if the Blues are latching on to anything, it's that, you know, the Sharks have not really been able to put a couple of wins in a row together in these playoffs. And so you can kind of rest and rely on that idea as well.
Now, I know that the conspiracy theories out there are always kind of thrown to the side, and there, but you know Twitter, there are a lot of them. Is it a bad look for the NHL that one team has gotten the breaks that it has gotten throughout the playoffs?
Well, first off, we talked about this on Puck Soup today, our podcast, whether the idea of whether or not the NHL is happy about any of this. I mean, in some cases, you think any publicity for the NHL is good publicity, as you pointed out. It got me on Outside the Lines today talking hockey. so there you go. It's getting some mainstream recognition. But it's also getting mainstream recognition because the league looks completely incompetent. So that's not a good thing. So I wonder what they're thinking in NHL headquarters. But as far as the Sharks and the benefit of it goes, like, there's always going to be people that are going to back a conspiracy theory. thinking that the league is trying to, you know, work it so Joe Thornton plays in the Stanley Cup final and, you know, it's the Sharks and the Bruins and the whole thing. And I'll say what I always say when people bring up this stuff, which is the moment that Connor McDavid was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers was the moment I put aside any thought that the NHL could ever orchestrate a conspiracy of any kind to affect change in this league. Because if they could, there's no way he would have been an Edmonton Oiler.
Yeah, but you got to throw people off the scent every once in a while, Greg, and that's a great way to do it, burying a great talented player in Edmonton. Hey, before we let you go, as great as the series has been in the Western Conference, it's kind of a runaway in the Eastern Conference. Do we see things get wrapped up tonight?
I think so. I mean, Boston is as locked in as they've been all season, in particular Tuukka Rask, in particular the power play, which is 5-for-12 in the series, which is just torrid. And, you know, the Hurricanes played arguably their two worst games in the last few months, in the first two games of this series, and have just not looked themselves. Undisciplined, you know, unable to really dictate terms with their puck possession game. Outside of maybe one period in this series, the Bruins have dominated. It's a bummer because I think a lot of us were hoping that the Hurricanes were going to be able to give them a good series. And sadly, they laid two eggs to start the series and have looked not ready for prime time the rest of the way.
Greg, we appreciate you making time for us as always. Thanks a lot.
You got it, boy. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com. And there you have it. Vegas is not heavily in the corner of that series being extended to five games tonight. Carolina, despite being at home, is only a $1.03 favorite on the money line. So wrap things up tonight if you're Boston and then sit back and relax and try not to get too complacent as you figure out who you're going to be playing for the Stanley Cup final.
I like the way that Boston is playing right now. I really do. But I just wonder what impact that will have. And in baseball, I think it's really difficult to sit out for a week or so when you're used to your repertoire. You go to the ballpark, you have one day off a week. You're in your routine. Hockey, it's a little bit different because everyone's dealing with a bunch of injuries this time of year, but I think we're going to get the opportunity to find out how much of an advantage, or dare I say it, disadvantage it will be for Boston to sit a week, because I agree with Greg, this series will be wrapped up tonight.
And I got to tell you, I've got a little piece of my heart that's pulling for the Boston Bruins here. It's been so long since those Boston sports fans have had a parade.
That's
it's
true.
Sure would nice to see one of their franchises break through
those
and
tortured
win for once.
Boston sports fans.
5:49, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, your second opportunity today to play, and hopefully our second opportunity to have a victorious listener inside Race to Win, as we are now down to 6 remaining prizes inside Race to Win. Your chance to play and win is next when we return after this.
This is an ad about Twins tickets. This is an ad about Twins tickets.
This is an ad about Twins tickets.
Here's where we talk about Twins tickets.
Get Twins season tickets today. With flexible plans, there's a package to fit your budget and schedule. Get the best seats at the best prices, plus 10% off food and drinks and other exclusive benefits.
That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. Here's some music.
Buy tickets at twinsbaseball.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. Smart263.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
The Golden State Warriors take Game 1 at home. Will Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers bounce back in Game 2?
Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock here on The Gym, 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
552, and we need you. If you are caller number 6 to 319-366-1600 and know a match inside Race to Win, we'll take caller number 6, 319-366-1600. We've had a remarkable streak of successful times played. It's reached one
yeah,
so far today, but it's going much better than it was yesterday. We'll find out who caller number 6 is here shortly. 319-366-1600 as Kyle attends to business on the other side of the glass. He'll be in the studio again with us coming up in about 25 minutes. He'll have another Alexander Lumber Big Board update on the way for you. Now down to 6 prizes remaining inside Race to Win, including, still out there, tickets to see the Minnesota Twins take on the Oakland Athletics later this summer. Peter Frampton coming to the McGrath Amphitheater. A lot of great prizes, and I do believe we've got our contestant locked and loaded.
Race to Win.
John in Cedar Rapids is on board with us. John, have you been following along?
I know some of them, but not all of them.
Okay. Hey, that is, believe me, that's better than some of our contestants that we've had so far this week. So I'm going to give you the numbers that are available at this point, and they are 1, 2, 5, 6, 11, 12, 13, 19, and 25 through 28. So with that being said, where would you like to start?
27.
All right, let's see what is behind door number 27.
A $50 gift card to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar.
Ah, that's a very nice prize there. We've been to Brick Alley a number of times. Can you find the match?
Yep, number 5.
Do we have a match? He sounds confident.
A $50 gift card to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar.
All right. Congratulations, John. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kyle is going to make sure he's got all your information squared away as another prize goes off the board, $50 to Brick Alley in Uptown Marion. And now down to 5 remaining prizes, and boy, this could work out because we're going to play again in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. We give away something else. And that could leave us 4 prizes over the course of 2 shows tomorrow. Gym class plays twice. We play twice. Put a nice big bow on this, and we'll pretend like the last day and a half never happened around here.
Did it happen? It never happened.
Are there any... Has everything been revealed, or are there still a few...
Everything's been revealed.
Everything has been revealed. It's just a matter of matching things
up at
this
point. It's all out there.
We have had a couple people strategically try to locate a prize that they would have preferred, and then when they failed at that, they went elsewhere on the prize board. But now down to the Cedar Rapids River Kings prize package, the Minnesota Twins tickets, the gift certificate for $100 to the Iowa Magic Shop, the Peter Frampton tickets, and the $125 coffee tasting party at Scooter's Coffee. One of those prizes will perhaps be taken off our hands coming up inside the 6 o'clock hour. This happens from time to time. I mentioned in the 5 o'clock hour that I was preparing today to do a show that I don't really ever want to do, and that's talking about one of my childhood idols passing away in Ric Flair, who is 70 years old and still alive and styling and profiling. Jason LaCanfora got fooled today, and this is not the first time that the CBS NFL writer has been taken by a fake Twitter account, but he retweeted a troll account of a WWE account that had, I believe it was 239 followers, with the report, the erroneous report that the Nature Boy Ric Flair had passed away, and then had to come back and eat crow that he had made a mistake. The actual WWE Universe account is verified with a blue check mark and has 5.43 million followers. He got fooled by an account that had 230 followers. Happens to the best of us. 5:57, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store inside hour number 6 after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
My brain is mush. I said going into the break that we were going to preview hour number 6. I think most of you knew that I meant the 6 o'clock hour, hour number 3. My son has been under the weather most of this week, and we just took him back to daycare / preschool this morning for the first time this week. And at 4:30, while we were on the air with Chris Hetty of the Omaha World Herald, school called and left a voicemail, and I thought, oh God, he's under the weather again, and here we go. And so I've had that on my mind. No, he just fell and bumped his head today, which he probably, after doing so, said his new favorite phrase, which he picked up not from me, but from his mom. He's not even 3 years old yet, and he likes to run around the house, and anytime he does something that he shouldn't, he says out loud, "That was really dumb." It's kind of funny. It's going to get him in trouble at some point in time. I'm bracing myself for that. We've still got tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action later this month. We're going to give those away inside the 6 o'clock hour. And would ya? We'll get things kicked off inside the third and final hour after this. Nailed it.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Brooks Koepka leads in the first round of the PGA Championship after shooting a course record 7-under 63 today. He leads by one over Danny Lee. Tiger Woods, who played with Koepka, struggled all day, including two double bogeys, and shot a 2-over 72. ending his streak of 12 straight rounds of par or better in the majors, which was the longest active streak on tour. The Warriors and Trailblazers back to work tonight in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State took Game 1, and ESPN's Tim Legler says Portland will need to make changes.
It was a regular season type of defensive effort, and if you play Golden State in a finesse game, you've got no shot whatsoever. So I'm really curious to see what's going to look different.
Tim Legler on Golic and Wingo. ESPN's Ramona Shelburne reports Kevin Durant is not close to playing for the Warriors. He's out again tonight. Coverage of that game begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. Cardinals corner Patrick Peterson will start the new NFL season with a 6-game suspension for PEDs. Peterson is an 8-time Pro Bowler. Baseball finals today. The Brewers hammer the Phillies 11-3. Yasmani Grandal drives in 4. The Nationals beat the Mets 7-6. Gerardo Parra drives in 3. The A's pummel the Tigers 17-3 in Detroit. Jurickson Profar with a grand slam. Rangers beat the Royals 16-1. 2-2-run home runs for Rougned Odor. Bruins and Hurricanes, Game 4 in the NHL. Bruins leading 3-0.
Coming up on Friday, ponies, putts, and pulled calf muscles. We'll have the latest from the Warriors, Blazers, as well as the PGA Championship, plus one of your last chances to come golf with us at Whistling Straits in the Wingo Cup. Friday, Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Twins are on the West Coast for the first time this season, first of four with Seattle coming up on Thursday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:10 start. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins. Hope you join us on Thursday night right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we welcome you back in. It is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as great local programming like this show. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins tickets, one of the many prizes, although dwindling in number, still available to play and take off our hands inside Race to Win. We will continue playing through tomorrow, as at the end of the run, we will have given away 15 fantastic prizes, including the grand prize earlier this week, the 6 general admission passes to the Indianapolis 500 coming up next weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Lots of ground to cover here in the third and final hour of the program. Woodja is on the way in just a little bit. But first, I have an important life hack for everybody out there. And this is something that I encountered earlier today. And Patrick, if you're listening, I'm busting on you here a little bit for the sake of content. It's nothing personal. But if you're renting a car, okay, very important here.
Okay.
Many of us
I'm
do
not
this,
sure where this is going.
From time to time. If you're renting a car and the person on the other end of the line responsible for lining up the rental car asks you the following question. Do not answer it in the following way. The question is, do you have a preference? And what you need to avoid saying if that question is ever put to you by somebody who works for a car rental agency is, by all means, never tell them, no, you do not have a preference, that you're not picky. because you will wind up in something less than ideal.
So if there's a clear ranking, let's just say there's three cars, there's a clear ranking of one, two, yes, and three, you're going to end up with
you're
three.
You're going to get, and to Patrick's credit, he did. He gave me an out, I think, earlier today, where he said, you're really just looking for something to get you from point A to point B. At that point, I could have, for those of you who don't recall, last month on the day after my birthday, I was rear-ended about 3/4 of a mile or so from the station, and I finally am able to take my SUV in and to the body shop and get it worked on. And so I could have put my foot down here because I'm not paying the bill for this. This is the person who hit me's insurance company, and I could say, no, I demand a comparable vehicle. I demand to be compensated for the 24 hours I'm without my SUV. I'm a big dude. I would like a big vehicle. And instead, I have a very fine and very fuel efficient for the next, let's call it, they said it's going to be ready by about 9:30, 10 o'clock tomorrow. So about 15 hours or so, the proud owner, and I use the air quotes there, of a wonderful Toyota Corolla with cloth interior.
See, nothing wrong with that vehicle.
Fine vehicle.
But Todd, every time I'm renting a vehicle or am in the market for a new car, which is right now for me, I haven't been in a long time, I say I need an SUV. I am too upright.
Just
I'm
go
too
to
tall
a car lot
to bend down all the time and get into a low to the ground car.
Go to
Can't
a car
it.
Lot. Tell the salesman that you're not picky, and he or she will put you in a fine vehicle. Life hack. Not going to be a new segment on the program. And I say that very carefully because I know that Patrick listens to the program. Because the other day when I called him to line up the rental, it was the day that I was home with my son who was under the weather, and I called at about 4:20, and he asked me if I was calling in between breaks on the show. And I thought, I can't say anything bad about it. He's a wonderful guy, great service. Service was exceptional.
Can't wait for you to take that car back and
I should
hear what
no,
he
I
has
just
to
get
say to you.
No, I just get to drop it off tomorrow at the body shop. They come and pick it up. I never have to see him again, unless I get rear-ended again. But I'm going to send him a nice thank you note in the mail. Just if this is my fault, I should have said, hey, I just don't want to be feeling like I'm riding a go-kart on the S-curves. And today I was coming back from lunch and a semi was, I used to drive a Mustang. I used to drive a go-kart. And you sit low to the ground.
Once
and
you go SUV and
once
upright,
you sit
in the comfort
tank,
of that,
you feel like
there's
you're
no going
in
back.
You feel like you're in an M1 Abrams. There's no going back. And so today, on the S-curve, this semi came rattling by the driver's side door. And I'm not going to lie, I felt a little incontinent for just a second. I thought, oh my God, this is it. They're going to find me in a tangled mess of Toyota Corolla. And it's all going to be because I uttered the words, no, I'm not picky. Just something to get me from point A to point B, provided point B was not the S-curve with a semi blowing beside me.
Todd, do you have a preference on what we discuss the rest of this show?
I think you had a great would ya. I don't know the genesis behind this. This is going to be perhaps the worst would ya that we've ever had on a Thursday edition of the show, but what would you do if you were Zion Williamson right now? Because there seems to be this undying need for ESPN to push the possibility, as slim as it is, that Zion Williamson could spurn the Pelicans and go back to Duke for his sophomore season.
Now, the theory behind this was started by Brian Windhorst of ESPN that says that, rightfully so, Zion Williamson has not hired an agent. And since then, Brian Windhorst says, well, he could go back to Duke if he really didn't want to go to New Orleans. Could you imagine how bad of a move that would be in the career of Zion Williamson?
Well, we've already seen him survive the shoe scare.
Right.
Where,
so
I mean, he could have severely shredded his knee and never been the same player again. And given the opportunity of going and making $100 million or going back to being the big man on campus, I know exactly what decision I would make. But this belief that New Orleans is such a godforsaken place, why would you want to, can you, how old is he, 20, yep. 19, 20? Can you imagine being 20 years old and living in New Orleans?
I think he
sign me up.
I think he should go back. Embrace debate, right?
Embrace debate.
No. Well, I guess my question would be,
they're upset. They have nothing to talk about now.
Right.
They have no, they, ESPN.
So people are on the air actively saying that, yeah, yeah, he should consider going back. Dude.
Yeah, because it would give them something to talk about. So now they're trying to figure out a way to transition into the discussion of free agency. And the New York Knicks still, according to some odds makers, have the third best odds to win the NBA title next year, because the anticipation is that this offseason, Kevin Durant and free agents are going to flock to the
Kyrie
Knicks.
Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant.
And then you're going to add in the third overall pick, which presumably is R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson's former Duke teammate. Yeah, I get that. I do. But at the same time, sports does not exist solely to give ESPN talking heads something to embrace debate
about.
See,
it's frustrating because I do like a little bit of debate, and I think that interesting theories, even if they're a little bit off the wall, I'll listen to them sometimes and say, you know what? Okay, I can see that. I can see where you're coming from. Let me ask you out there, 319-366-1600. Let's say Zion Williamson or at least thinks about going back to Duke. What is the end game? Why would he do that?
Is there anybody out there that would do that if they were Zion Williamson?
What is the end game? That he would end up on a team in a larger market? Because
give me a team worse than New Orleans. Give me Sacramento.
Sacramento.
What if you do it and next year it's Sacramento?
Next year you're in Sacramento or Phoenix.
And then it's college junior. Duke junior Zion Williams.
Or you end up in Memphis.
That's not all that bad. You could hang out with Carlos Martinez when he's there on his yearly rehab assignment.
That's true. He's coming back up to the majors here shortly. I can tell the story now, can't I?
Cardinals and Cubs are going to London next year. You can tell the story.
Okay. So I can tell this story because pretty much everywhere that Carlos Martinez has stopped on his rehab assignment, he has been spotted by somebody at a local establishment. So I'm in Memphis last weekend and taking care of some family things, and we end up on Beale Street at Tin Roof. Iowa State fans, you'll remember Tin Roof is the bar that you allegedly ran out of beer.
They drank the Busch Light at the bar.
Yes.
The bar still had beer.
The bar had no Busch Light. I can confirm that.
The urban legend has now become that they drank the bar dry of all beer.
I think it was the whole city. But it was definitely that bar, and Busch Light was gone. So I'm standing by the bar.
And
last
the TV ratings were amazing for it.
I'm standing by the bar last Friday night, and one of my friends, who is from the city of St. Louis, looks at me from across the bar and starts pointing at somebody. It's like, Alex! Alex! He's pointing down. He's a big 6'7 guy. He's pointing down at somebody. He goes, Carlos! It's Carlos! And sure enough, there's Carlos Martinez standing at the bar, slugging down some kind of well liquor with a friend on a
you
Friday night.
You got big league money. You got to go call liquor.
$50 million. Maybe it was call liquor, but he was in the bar with everybody else getting some drinks.
You make $50 million a year, and I appreciate the frugality of going with well liquor, but I think you can afford to call your drink at that point. 6:15. I said it was going to be one of the worst woodges ever.
You think Zion can afford better than well liquor? He's not allowed to drink yet.
Technically not allowed to drink yet, but I have a feeling he could afford that while he was a Duke before he even signs the first NBA contract at this point. I can't imagine a single scenario where it would make sense for Zion Williamson to return to college for a second season. Well, and yet people are out there peddling that as a of course it's a possibility. I mean, there's a 0.00001% chance, and that's where you cue the you're saying there's a chance clip from Dumb and Dumber,
right,
with Jim Carrey. Well, yeah, I mean, it's infinitesimal, but I guess there's a chance.
Literally the only reason that people are pointing out in this entire, we'll call it a theory, I guess, is that he could end up in a large market of New York or L.A. Well, let's look at New York. If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving go there, they're not going to be in the lottery. They're going to be in the playoffs. In the Eastern Conference, they're going to be a playoff team. So throw that one away. And then L.A., okay? You're banking on L.A. being bad enough, being one of the worst teams in the league, to only have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. So you're going back to college, wasting another year of your career for an at most 14% chance that you end up in LA. And that's at the very most. That's if they're one of the three worst teams in the league. Those aren't, I'm not a betting man, but those aren't odds I'm taking. I'm not giving up probably $100 million of total money in my rookie season to go back to Duke. And I know that you get, you're making something at Duke. You're not making $100 million.
Now, 6936 brings up another way to approach this. If he wants New York or L.A., he can use this to leverage his way there. That's on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We've seen this before in the past. Across multiple sports, basketball, football, John Elway famously did not want to play for the Baltimore Colts, so he went and played a summer of baseball with the New York Yankees and orchestrated a trade to the Denver Broncos, and the rest, as they say, is history. Could Zion Williamson...
Eli Manning did it.
Could Zion Williamson say, no, I don't want to be a Pelican. Trade me to the Lakers or the Knicks, or don't even get your hopes up, Bulls fans. He's not going to say trade me to the Bulls, but
nobody wants to. Is go there.
How does he leverage that? How does he pull that off? You listen to what his, I believe it was his stepdad on the radio in Louisiana earlier today, an ESPN affiliate down there, where he said Zion understands that you can't worry about the things that you don't control, and this is one of those things that you don't control, who lands the number one pick in the ping pong ball lottery. And by all accounts, it sounds as if he's going to happily become a New Orleans Pelican. But that's not good for ESPN, because what else are they going to talk about right now? Baseball and hockey, sports that people in middle America like, but maybe they don't play on the coast as well as basketball does? No. So you've got to continue to manufacture the... Well, let's find... What did they do? Did they draw this short straw where who's going to sell their credibility out at ESPN? Which one of their reporters is going to have to go on TV and say something so ludicrous that they know they're going to be the butt of jokes? Windhorst, sucks to be you.
It's your day, Windhorst. We keep giving this to Stephen A. Stick.
Go out there and tell the world that you think there's a possibility that Zion Williamson could go back to Duke and
Sorry,
see how
Wendy.
That flies.
Stephen A's on vacation today.
Anything can happen. Greg Wyshynski was on Outside the Lines earlier today talking about hockey, and as we pointed out, that's usually not a good thing.
I like how he kind of even acknowledged that, too. So yeah, like you said, I was on Outside the Lines today talking about hockey.
6936 points out something that has been referenced a number of times with Zion Williamson. He has not agreed to or signed on with an agent. And thus, I suppose, leaving the window cracked ever so slightly for somebody to come in and steal the Lindbergh baby. What are the possibilities here that this, we've successfully pulled off the national ESPN. We've taken something so absurd, and here we are, 20 minutes into the third and final hour of the program. Notwithstanding my stupid story about the rental car, which just really comes off as me sounding like an entitled ass, but 20 minutes into the program here, the third and final hour, we're sitting here talking about something very, very national ESPN-y. The fact that he hasn't hired an agent.
Like, what's the best conspiracy theory you can come up with to why he hasn't hired an agent? I don't know if I can come up with one off the top of my head. It has to be really deeply rooted. It has to involve other teams in the NBA, other superstars in the NBA.
I think
possibly a secret society.
When you are in a position that he's in, where he's so dominant, the idea of him going back to school, that's not leveraged the way that it would be for a Talen Horton Tucker or dozens of these other players who were in the draft. So I guess you've got to do something to try to prove that you have some leverage, and that's keeping the agent option off the table. But I don't even know if he wants to orchestrate some deal like this. Just take the money. Go play in New Orleans. Eat the beignets and drink the chicory coffee at Café du Monde and enjoy the wonderful nightlife, although waiting, of course, until you're 21.
When does Zion Williamson turn 21?
Not soon enough if he's going to play in New Orleans, play and live in New Orleans. Again, I was there one time, and the
turns
city,
19 in July.
The city chewed me up and spit me out, and I was there for less than 48 hours. Same. I've been to Vegas. I can survive Vegas. I can survive anywhere in the country. It took less than 48 hours for New Orleans to make me its whipping boy. 366-1600. I don't even want to relive some of those moments. It's the only time that I ever, when I was away from work on quote-unquote vacation or time off, was I ever happy to be setting foot on the airplane to come home. And I've gone to Las Vegas and lost money before. This one was different. This was, okay, I have finally met my match after 30-plus years on this earth. It was New Orleans. 6:23, we have tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels at a game later this season. The Colonels are on the road tonight taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings at Ashford University Field in Clinton County. They'll be there through Sunday if you're looking for something to do this weekend. Colonels back home on Monday to open up an 8-game homestand, 4 with Burlington, 4 with Peoria. Caller number 6 to 366-1600. You're going to take the Colonels tickets off our hands tonight. And stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, you're going to have another opportunity to play and perhaps be victorious inside Race to Win. We'll find out who caller number 6 is when we return after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The boys and girls track and field teams will compete in the state co-ed meet today, tomorrow, and Saturday at Drake Stadium in Des Moines. Best of luck to all the athletes. The Class 3A top-rated boys soccer team shut out Western Dubuque 6-0 on Friday. Lincoln Oakley recorded the shutout goal for Xavier. The Saints host Iowa City High tonight in the regular season finale. The girls soccer team bounced back from a weekend loss to Bettendorf to knock off Iowa City West 3-0 on Monday. The Saints play at Iowa City High tonight. The girls golf team finished second in the divisional meet, and Ellie Broxick finished second in the medalist race. The Saints close out the regular season with a quad meet today. The girls tennis team will play Decorah in a regional team final this Saturday at 9 a.m. The boys tennis team begins regional team play this Saturday.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it.
An.
didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
It's spring cleaning time, and the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is your one-stop drop-off for garbage and recycling. The Landfill and Resource Recovery Building on County Home Road is open 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, so you can avoid the lines on Saturday by stopping in during the week. And remember, to help keep our roads clean, safe, and avoid getting a big fine, cover your load. Thank you for helping keep garbage off our streets. Need more info about garbage and recycling? Just go to solidwasteagency.org.
Get your game face on because Drive Green Demo Days are back. Come test drive the latest equipment. Attendees who register and are 18 or older will receive coupons for $500 off a 1 through 5 Series John Deere tractor, $200 off turf and utility equipment, plus savings on parts and attachments. Drive Green, don't miss it. Some conditions apply. Drive Green event dates vary by participating dealer. Please see your local participating dealer for restrictions and to learn when these offers will expire.
John Deere Drive Green Demo Days at City Tractor, May 16th through the 18th.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years, with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The Golden State Warriors take Game 1 at home. Will Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers bounce back in Game 2?
Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock here on The Gym, 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
627, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and it's either Kara or Kara in Marion. You give me a name that looks relatively easy to pronounce, and I will guarantee you that I can butcher it, but she is going to be seeing the Colonels at a future game down the road as Jackson, who's filling in for Kyle, laughs maniacally on the other side of the glass. Give me a difficult name. For the most part, I can pronounce it. You give me something that could go in two, three different directions, I will pick the wrong choose-your-own-adventure every time.
What about McGagnon and Heimerdinger?
That, we'll get to Mike in just a second on the phone lines.
That's the best law firm I've ever heard, and it's not even actually a law firm.
The story that we spent a great deal of time on Wednesday, Adam Gase running the New York Jets now because that franchise is woefully inept. But now it has come out in the last 24 hours that perhaps Adam Gase was behind the scenes orchestrating much of what went down with Mike McGagnon losing his job. Because, again, Gase said he didn't want them to sign a running back or a center. He did not want them to spend big money on one of the on either of those two positions. And now he's stuck with Le'Veon Bell essentially on a two-year deal.
Poor guy.
It's a four-year contract. It's essentially a two-year deal at $14 million a season and a running back when it's not necessarily the fit for what Adam Gase wants to do. But now he's in charge, and apparently this is much of his own doing. Now, Mike is wanting to talk about Zion Williamson. That's the subject that we were chatting about as sort of a pseudo-woodja as we started the hour. So we welcome Mike on board at 366-1600. Mike, your thoughts.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, the biggest question for me for Zion is, are they going to, you know, are you putting your faith in the new GM, David Griffin, or are you putting your faith in Anthony Davis, or are you putting your faith in Alvin Gentry? You know, because Anthony Davis is probably going to go. And David Griffin has shown he can do good things if he has great players. So it's, like you said before, it's all up to Zion.
And I appreciate the perspective there. The problem is he's going to be drafted number one overall in every single draft that he enters. I think it's just going to be the one. So he's going to go to a situation that likely stinks, right? I know the hope was that He would go to New York. James Dolan would bring in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and that would be a super team right away. But like we talked about, that didn't have a very good chance of that. There wasn't a good chance of that happening in the first place. And I don't see why New Orleans is any worse of a situation than LA right now. I know LeBron James is there, but right now that organization is a mess. The only reason that the organization in New Orleans last year was a mess is because their franchise player demanded a trade. What organization is going to be able to survive that? Where you're a smaller market NBA franchise and you're the second fiddle team in your city and you have this superstar, this one guy that everyone is coming out to see, and he demands a trade in the middle of the season. It's going to be tough for, and then they don't trade him. It's going to be tough for anybody to survive.
319-366-1600. Appreciate the perspective and the question there. And you go with a coach? Do you go with the general manager? Or do you go with the incumbent star player who, how quickly that storyline turned from, hey, he's not going anywhere now, they've got the number one overall pick, to, eh, he probably still wants out. Again, incessant speculation all summer long is good for the Stephen A. Smiths and the Will Canes of the broadcast universe. If only Anthony Davis played for the Dallas Cowboys. 366-1600, at least in particular, with Will Cain. We are on a heck of a heater at this point. We've had two wins in a row playing Race to Win. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have another opportunity for you to take one of our remaining prizes off our hands. We somehow have managed to gain enough ground that we're back on track to finish this on time. Tomorrow, we have five prizes remaining. Tickets to see Peter Frampton this summer at the McGrath Amphitheater. A $125 coffee tasting party at Scooter's Coffee. A $100 gift card to the Iowa Magic Shop. A nice Cedar Rapids River Kings prize package. And tickets to see the Minnesota Twins at Target Field. Take on the Oakland Athletics later on this summer, and you have no idea, this is, I believe, late July. A.J. Puck could maybe be at the point where he's back from Tommy John surgery and in the big leagues. It's probably a long shot, but he could be pitching for the A's. Who knows? We've got local ties here with these tickets. You never know. 319-366-1600. We will play Race to Win shortly. Get the phone number programmed. Feel free to get ready to call, but do not call right now. The Stanley Cup playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 4 tonight in Carolina. Carolina taking on Boston. This thing is over tonight, right? Carolina, dead on arrival.
I thought they played pretty well in Game 3. Boston got off to one of their slow starts in that game, but Boston and their goaltender, Tuukka Rask, have stolen the series. They've frustrated the Hurricanes. They've gotten into the heads of that team. And it just, based on Justin Williams, the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes, and the way that he played in Game 3, a guy that has won Stanley Cups in the past with the Kings, has been in this very situation. And when the Kings were down 3-0 years ago to the San Jose Sharks and came back and won, a guy that is sort of always that calming influence, the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes, took, what, 3 minor penalties and was throwing out cheap shot after cheap shot in the first period of Game 3. I didn't like the sort of body language from their captain the other night. And when the spokesperson for your team, when the leader of your team is playing that way, it just sort of shows the frustration of the entire team. And I like Boston tonight.
Boston closing out the series while the Western Conference twists in the wind at the whims of hand passes and God knows what else is in store as St. Louis.
I don't even know what to think anymore. I don't know what to expect in this series. I think they can battle back. I think that they could win game four. They were the better team for two of the three periods last night. They should have won in regulation. They put themselves in a bad position in overtime. They were failed by the league. Both teams, I think, were failed by the league last night in that situation. I don't think the Sharks want to win that way. I really don't. Especially with the way that they have gotten the benefit of some of those calls throughout the playoffs, and they already have that hanging over their head. They don't want that. So the Blues are going to play desperate in game four. We'll see if the Sharks can match their intensity. And it's been an entertaining series, and hopefully there are no more quote-unquote incidents the rest of the way. That's all we can hope for.
319-366-1600 if you want to reach out to us on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. The PGA Championship underway on Long Island at Bethpage, the Black Course in Farmingdale, New York. Got to be technical there. Brooks Koepka, doesn't matter. It's a PGA Championship. So Brooks Koepka is going to run away with things. He's not running away with it right now, but he is alone atop the leaderboard at 7 under. That's one stroke ahead